Welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell, ESPN. We are here in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's Friday, March 1st, 2019. And joining me very closely here in our podcast recording studio in Indianapolis, Indiana, is The Ringer's Robert Mays. Mays, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. These are very close quarters. Calling this a podcast studio is very, very... I mean, that's a complimentary way to refer to this space.
Well, I'm more comfortable with you than I am with other guests.
That's totally fair. I feel the same way.
There are many guests in the show who this would be construed as possibly harassment if I was recording in such close quarters.
But I'm good with it. I'm all right.
But fortunately, we have a special kind of relationship, and it is a special time in the NFL season because free agency is coming up. And as we were going to record this, we're going to do, say, the top 25 free agents without getting the guys who are franchised, because that's boring. I don't think there's any point in saying DeMarcus Lawrence where he might go because he's going to get franchised. Let's not waste our time.
All the fun guys are getting franchised. It's really put a damper on free agency.
Strong disagree there. I strongly disagree with you. I think there's a lot of fascinating players here in this market, and I think we're going to talk about them. And first, actually, before we do any of that, as we were about to record this, one of them signed.
It's Brandon Graham, who just re-signed with the Eagles, which that makes me 0 for 1. Because I had him on a different team. So.
Also makes me 0 for 1. Brandon Graham is we were a long-standing part of the Graham wagon back in the day.
I think we were the first, outside of the Eagles drafting him in the first round, we were the first major Brandon Graham supporters.
I think we liked him more than the Eagles because
that's
the Eagles drafted him in the first round and then sat him for 3 years and we wanted him to play.
I was trying to get him traded to Tampa Bay for like six straight seasons. Even now, it's like I still feel like he should end up with the Bucks somehow.
Well, I have some bad news for you. He's just signed a 3-year, $39 million contract, so he's not going to the Bucks anytime soon. But
how do you feel about that? Just like very quickly before we get into this list, but I don't want to talk about it for too long. $39 million over 3 years for Brandon Graham, who is older than me, I believe.
He is 30. He's about to turn 31 in April.
So about my age, I would not give myself a 3-year, $39 million contract to play defensive
record
end.
Oh, to play defensive end, absolutely not. Record podcast, maybe. I'm open to the idea. I mean, this is a guy who I think is
market value.
Who is an extremely talented player and I think was underrated for a long time and is still to some extent underrated because he does not rack up huge sack numbers. He is someone who I think his value comes as a two-way defensive end. But there's two things here. Number one, I don't know that you need to pay a guy who doesn't rack up that sort of sacks, these sort of numbers, even if he's a good run defender. And number two, we know the Eagles want to rotate their defensive ends. They want to keep guys in for 60% of the snaps. Now you're paying a guy who plays that percentage of the snaps $13 million a year. That's a lot of money.
That, on top of the idea that they've just allocated so many resources to other positions.
Right.
And to pay top dollar for that spot where you're already Michael Bennett's on that team. I mean, they just have, there's so many elements to the money that's gone into that team, and they have $6 million in cap space as it currently stands. I'm looking over the cap right now.
Before the
Graham
deal gets posted.
So, yeah. So there's some things are going to have to happen, whether that's Nelson Agholor being shipped out of town, whatever. And we discussed this a little bit before we started. When you make these sorts of financial commitments, you have to give up things elsewhere. You have to make decisions. You can't have it all. And it's one of those things where, all right, Brandon Graham comes back. Who's going to catch the ball if you cut Nelson Agholor? And those are the things that you have to address when you're making these sorts of commitments to people.
Right, exactly. 72% for Graham this year, 64% last year. I mean, he's a very good player. And I fully support their idea of building around defensive line and defensive line depth. But it's just a lot. It's just a lot of money. And I think that, you know, we're going to have to see what they do after this to try and make up for those funds because they do have holes in the roster. This is not a team that is quite as deep as they were last year and have some free agents coming up. They have some players who have aged. I think there's going to be a couple of tough decisions to kind of counteract for this move that I'm not horrified by, but I just don't, you know, I'm surprised they're committing this much money to a player who I think is good, but maybe not top tier at edge rusher.
And aging. And that's the other part about this.
Well, we're all aging, Mace.
That's so true.
Just FYI. And let's get to that edge rusher market. Let's start there because I think there are a bunch of guys who are going to get franchised. I'm going to say the top four guys, I believe.
So Clowney,
DeMarcus Lawrence,
Frank Clark, and D
Ford are all going to get franchised.
I think they will all end up back with their teams. So yes. One way or another. I think Lawrence signs a long-term extension because I think it'd be hard to stomach a second straight franchise tag for him.
Sure. I think he gets franchised in the path of a long-term extension over the summer, sort of the JPP, Melvin Ingram sort of thing. there's still a bunch of talent at edge rusher on this market.
Which just tells you how ridiculous the class is, that you can name four more guys right. that are still in the top 20, and we just said four guys are getting franchised or extended.
Right, and if Brandon Graham gets $13 million a year, what does Trey Flowers get? Because he's a two-way defender who is like 5 years younger than Brandon Graham.
His market is the one I was most interested in, and I think that for two reasons. One, like you just said, he's not a huge sack guy, but he's very productive. Mm-hmm. And two, if those guys get franchised, where does the market for Trey Flowers end
up? It gets real big.
Yes, it gets real big real fast. And I think Lawrence, when he signs his extension, it will be in the Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald range, a little bit less than that, because mm-hmm. that's what happens when you hit the market. You have all the leverage now. You get that those type of numbers, even if you're not on that level as a right. player. So if that's the DeMarcus Lawrence market, then what is it for Trey Flowers? Is it $18 million a year?
I think it's 17 or 18.
I think it's right in that range. Like, and that's why I think the list of teams mm-hmm. that he is on, because of the spending and because of the, just the overall bidding war is going to get so ridiculous mm-hmm. that I think the list of teams he could go to is not that long.
But who's at the top of that list for you?
I would love to see him with the Colts.
I like that idea, but is that something you think Chris Ballard is going to be comfortable doing?
So I was looking at all these guys. They need pass rushing help desperately. So let's see how they can address it. This is complicated by how much pass rushing talent there is in the draft. There's so many guys in this draft. Everyone has said, you know, that's been the conversation over the last 2 days. Mm-hmm. The defensive line talent is so robust that it may affect how people spend in free agency. But if you're looking at the available guys, he is the one that I think is the safest bet. Mm-hmm. I would much rather pay him than Brandon Graham, than Dante Fowler, than Ziggy Ansah.
Yep.
I think Chris Ballard is very smart, and I think Trey Flowers is the smartest signing of this group, mm-hmm. and that's why I paired that together. I don't know if Chris Ballard in a vacuum thinks mm-hmm. spending $18 million on one pass rusher is smart, though.
Well, I think the consensus 2018 Executive of the Year, Chris Ballard, would...
How dare you? We're not litigating this right now. It's not happening.
Make a wise decision. I could totally see that. And I think if you're going to go out and you're going to make a splash signing... If you're the Colts, that's the player I would go for. That's the position I would go for. That's the need I would go for. I think that makes total sense.
Because we talk about this so much, right? Why do you sign free agents? What are the reasons that they hit free agency? That's the first question you should ask. And if the answer to that is that the team that had them before didn't properly value them, mm-hmm. then it's worth signing them. And the Patriots properly value players all the time, but they don't value edge rushers. They've never paid for one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think even if New England feels they can move on from him and should, that's not a deterrent to giving him that sort of money, because he'd be a different player within your defense and within the hierarchy of how you wanted to build your roster.
Why do you think the Patriots don't value edge rushers?
I think they like interchangeability. That's always what they've seen to value more than anything else. They like their guys to be similar sizes. They like their guys to move in certain ways. It's more about timing. They love twisting. Mm-hmm. They would much rather pay Adrian Claiborne $4 million at 290 pounds mm-hmm. than go give Trey Flowers $18 million. They let Chandler Jones go, and Chandler Jones has been a productive player for sure. Arizona. So I think that that's the one spot on the Patriots roster where if somebody leaves there or they're willing to give up on somebody, mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily have the same doubts as I'd have at every other spot.
Makes sense. I'm going to say he goes to one of the former Patriots enclaves.
Okay.
The NFL.
That makes sense too.
I'm going to say Lions, a team that needs an edge rusher after losing Ziggy Ansah, who we'll get to in a moment. I just feel like there is they are desperate for help on defense. And this is the place where I don't think they have a ton of space, but I would not struggle to think that they would spend $17, $18 million a year on a primary edge rusher, given that Matt Patricia knows Trey Flowers pretty well from their time in New England.
That pairing makes total sense to me. I just think that if you look at the cap number, God, that's a lot. It's a huge percentage of your free agent dollars to
sure.
go to one player when you're so far away.
Well, maybe you're not that far away.
I gave them someone else that's going to be a little bit cheaper.
I gave the Colts someone else that's going to be a little bit cheaper.
Okay.
Who's not a free agent yet, but is going to be. I'm going to give the Colts Justin Houston.
Okay.
Because I think he is almost definitely going to be cut by the Chiefs. I don't buy the
trade. So you're
just
having players follow where if the executive had been at one of the other spots, or the coach, you're just having players follow them to the next spot.
I have some bad news for you. That's how the NFL works.
It's so boring.
Maybe it shouldn't be that simple, but I do think they need help on the edge. And I think Justin Houston is used to playing as a 3-4 outside linebacker as opposed to a 4-3 end. But I think he's going to get plenty of snaps as an edge rusher.
I'm all for teams making smart value signings. If he gets cut, we know the comp pick thing, everything else. Sure. I think that the Colts will probably be engaged in free agency enough to not get comp picks next year.
Fair.
But I feel like every once in a while, at some point on your trajectory, you have to make a big move.
Sure.
Or one or two. Even the Patriots do this. They, I mean, Stephon Gilmore makes a ton of money. So every once in a while, I think you have to pull the trigger on just a blockbuster signing when you want to really make things happen and make noise in the playoffs. And I just think that, yes, Justin Houston would be safe, but giving a guy that's often hurt, switching schemes and is the wrong side of 30 any sort of money, I would be weary about that.
How much would you give Justin Houston and not feel bad about it?
Like $7 million?
Oh, I think it's going to be more than that.
I think it's going to be more than that, but I wouldn't feel good about it.
I'm not horrified by the idea of giving Justin Houston, who has been maybe the best pass rusher in football at stretches when he's healthy, $9 or $10 million.
That caveat at the end there is not something I feel good about, especially when you consider how old he is. He played most of last season and he wasn't that productive.
He was fine.
He was fine. That's the adjective that I would use.
I mean, you're not giving him like a 4-year commitment. Like, you're giving him 2 years probably.
This is what I'm saying though. I just think that I want something on a little bit bigger scale with a little grander ambition if I'm the Colts right now. You have $107 million in cap space.
By the way, Justin Houston had 9 sacks in 12 games last year.
He was fine.
He was fine?
He was fine. He was fine. He was definitely the third most valuable player of that defensive front.
Okay. Okay, we will see. I think Justin Houston is going to get more than that. And I would not be horrified if he gave him the DeMarcus Ware, like 3-year, $30 million contract and guaranteed $20 million. I'm not horrified by
DeMarcus Ware was much more productive at that point in his career than Justin Houston. He was a better
Houston
player.
Had an 11 sack season over 16 games last year. DeMarcus Ware, who was awesome. And I love DeMarcus Ware. I think he's a Hall of Fame player.
He was hurt that last season before though. I think that's, if you want to go just by the last season he was in Dallas.
He had 6 sacks in 13 games.
Yeah, I think DeMarcus Ware was still a more effective player and more reliable in terms of health than Justin Houston was at this point.
I agree. I don't know about the effective part, but I agree about health. We talked about Ziggy Ansah. I'm going to bore you again in terms of players going to places they used to have friends. Ziggy Ansah, I think, is a good fit for Martin Mayhew and the San Francisco 49ers, who do need help on the edge and have money to spend.
They need a ton of help on the edge. They have money to spend. And the reason I made the same pairing is that the 49ers, I'm pairing the Colts with the smart signings and spending the money in smart ways. The 49ers have treated their free agent dollars like Monopoly money for the last 2 years, so I would not be surprised if they just said, sure, we'll give Ziggy Ansah $20 million a year. We gave Jerick McKinnon whatever. So that makes sense to me on a couple different levels.
They're weirder though. It's not like they go out and target the guy at the most obvious position of need. Like, they go out and sign Jerick McKinnon or Malcolm Smith or Kyle Juszczyk to like exorbitant deals. They pick some random guy.
Malcolm Smith one is still the most random one. I still don't understand anything about it.
Right. Like, I can understand them getting confused by Jerick McKinnon and being like, oh, well, we need him, when you don't actually need him. You can just plug in almost literally anyone and be fine on that offense. But Malcolm Smith was just like,
same go for their quarterback.
It's the same go for their quarterback. Wow. Hot take here.
I love Jimmy Garoppolo, but at a certain point, this might look really bad.
You're a CJ Mullins truther.
His name is Nick Mullins, by the way. I guess I'm also a Nick Mullins or a CJ Mullins truther. I'm also a Byron Mullins truther. How many yards do you think Byron Mullins would throw for in Kyle Shanahan's offense?
He's very tall.
Yeah. John Elway would love him.
Yeah, definitely. You got to see over that offensive line. He is good to go. One more edge rusher. I think a really fascinating market for Dante Fowler, because I think he was good enough with the Rams that somebody is going to get very, very aggressive in signing him, because he's still young. He still has some upside. This is a guy who was evaluated as a former top 3 pick. I think someone can make a very foolish move here.
I think he goes back to the Rams.
You do?
Yep.
For how much money?
I think a lot. I mean, they don't have a ton of space, but they have enough to make one big signing. If they let Sue and Joyner go, they can absolutely sign him to a $15 million a year deal.
And would you do that?
No, probably not if I were the Rams, again, just because you don't have that many resources to go around. But I do think that he is the type of player I would take a huge chance on right now. Okay, because of the age and because we saw it from him last year.
So you would rather pay Dante Fowler $15 million a year than pay Justin Houston 9 or 10?
It depends on the team.
Can I remind you that Dante Fowler had 2 sacks for the Rams in 8 games last year?
It depends on where my team was going. If I was an actual contender and I only needed 1 or 2 years out of a player, then I think Justin Houston at that price is better.
Okay, but we talked about the Los Angeles Rams. They good.
But it's one of those things of familiarity, and like he loved being there. I think that it's more so, I'm just predicting this. I don't think it's a prudent choice.
Okay.
Well, I think he ends up back there.
Would you rather have Dante Fowler at $15 million a year or Clay Matthews returning to the Coliseum for $6 million a year?
Dante Fowler, $15 million a year. And that just says more about how I feel about Clay Matthews.
Wow.
I don't think Clay Matthews is very good
anymore. Well, you mentioned the Rams. What about Ndamukong Suh, who's a free agent? Do you think he goes back to the Rams?
I don't think so. I think that that's just way too much money to tie up in one position.
So where do you think he goes?
Seattle, I think, is really interesting.
I agree. I think Seattle's interesting. Can I throw a team out there for you?
Sure.
What about the Dallas Cowboys?
I just don't understand how that happens.
Well, they cut Tyron Crawford. And then
if they cut Tyron Crawford.
Right, who okay. I think at this point they would save $6 million by getting rid of Tyron Crawford.
Tyron Crawford's set to make $10 million right. this year.
And it's not especially good.
No, it's a really weird contract.
So if you also, you lost David Irving to a possible suspension, you lost Randy Gregory to a suspension, your line, which looked like it might have been a strength earlier this offseason, now suddenly looks like there's some weak issues there.
Yeah, they don't really have much by way of defense tackles, right? Like Malik Collins is still there.
Right, but like you create space for Ndamukong Suh. Like that.
My only issue is at a certain point the money runs out, right? So I think it depends on when Dak gets his extension.
Sure.
Do they do that? I mean, even if they do it this year, obviously it's going to be new money the year after. He's not going to make much more than the $2 million.
Right.
The cap. But they can, I think they're going to extend Cooper. They would probably negotiate his number down, right? Because it's like $13 million now. I assume with his extension, that cap number will go down in year one.
Right.
Lawrence is going to be $20 million on top of what he, sure. like. So if Lawrence, let's say Lawrence has a $17 million cap hit this year, and they want to go sign Earl Thomas, Byron Jones, I mean, it just feels like at a certain point you run out. I just don't know how they would possibly sign an Ndamukong Suh type player to a $14 million a year deal with everything else they want to do.
I can't believe I'm the one making this argument. The Cowboys will figure it out. They do dumb things with their cap. Like I don't see why that's suddenly about to change.
I wrote yesterday that it seems like they're going to have to choose between Earl Thomas and Byron Jones, and I was like, well, that's probably not true. They'll probably figure this out somehow.
No, they'll figure it out. One
with
more.
Most teams, they would be their apprehension would be paying out that much cash.
Yeah, no.
Just by all the other signings. It's like that's the benefit of being the Cowboys. You can just sign everyone to a new contract with every signing bonus coming out at the same time, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, just go to the cash bigot.
Yeah, that's right. Just like it's Entertainment 720 where there's the pay yes. cash toilet bowl. That's yeah. more or less what happens in Dallas.
That's exactly what it is. One more defensive lineman, Sheldon Richardson, picked up by the Vikings last year in a 1-year deal, played pretty well. Do you think he goes back to Minnesota?
That's another one. I just feel like that is hard to, it's hard to do those financial gymnastics, right? Mm-hmm. They have so little cap space, and it's not as if they have players that they're going to retain. Even if they lose Anthony Barr, they have such little cap space. So again, committing that amount of money to Sheldon Richardson mm-hmm. in free agency, I just don't know whether that's good or whether it's even possible.
I think he's a good player. I think if you cut,
yes, I agree.
If you cut Everson Griffin, which is not, would not be that shocking, or if they trade Trey Waynes, which yeah. I think is totally plausible, then you have space. You can make it happen. Yeah. But where do you think he goes if he doesn't stay with the Minnesota Vikings?
I actually don't know. I was looking at all of these teams, and that's a really good question. Who else needs interior pass rushing help?
Because
I would say Atlanta does, but they're going to franchise Grady right. Jarrett, correct?
Cleveland, you could figure maybe they'd line up someone next to Larry Ogunjobi.
That actually sounds awesome.
You know, the Colts have Nico Autry, who really flashed, say, interior pass rusher last year, but they could spend money on it.
That's one of those, we do this all the time, right? Like, Nico Autry is not a reason to not spend money.
Sure.
I mean, it's like, that happens when these teams have young, promising players. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, this guy's there. Like, how could they possibly need an upgrade? It's like, well, they still probably could.
The Giants could use some interior pass rushing help. They could use a lot of help in a lot of positions, which we'll get to a little later on. I mean, that's pretty much
it. The Browns is really interesting. I think the Browns is a very good fit.
I thought the Browns were the team I wanted to draft Brandon, or to trade for. None of those things. Sign Brandon Graham. And obviously yeah. it's not going to happen now, but I would have liked that to be the possible fit there. I think they add one defensive lineman this year, who's going to be an impactful player. It could happen in the draft, obviously, given how many.
But they still have a lot of money, man.
That's right. So
that's the nice thing about where they're set up. I mean, you look at teams like the Jets, the Texans, the Bills, the Raiders, even the Niners, just they have so many needs. And the Browns are smack dab in the middle of that group at about 80 or so million. And they just don't, that list is not very long for them.
Right. And they also have a very appealing position there. Do I have the Browns getting anyone? I had them getting Brandon Graham, and now I don't have them getting anyone.
I will say Sheldon Richardson to the Browns. I'm willing to
thank you.
Put my name next to that.
Thank you. Let's go to the offensive side of the ball. Done. We need to talk about Le'Veon Bell.
The It sounds like a movie title.
It gets too late in the conversation. I mean, we should also talk about Antonio Brown, but let's just get to Le'Veon Bell, because this is a free agent podcast. I think there is a smaller market for Le'Veon Bell services than maybe it looks like if you are someone who watches the NFL as a fan.
I'm with you. I don't know what it would be.
There are teams.
Yeah, and it's a list of teams that I don't think are very good at this.
Right. That's the thing, is that I think universally when I hear about, oh, the Eagles are going to sign Le'Veon Bell, I just think, have you paid attention to anything the Eagles have done over the past few years?
Same thing that when people were connecting him to the Colts. It's right. Like, are you serious?
It's just not, it's not what these teams do. And the Colts are already set at running back.
Yeah. They have like four guys.
They are just fine at running back. The Eagles do not have the money, especially now, to spend on a player like Le'Veon Bell. Oh, did Le'Veon Bell sign with somebody? No? Okay. I was hoping that SportsCenter update was going to tell us that Le'Veon Bell had signed with someone, or that possibly Bill Barnwell got him an enormous raise and we were just announcing it on the ESPN app, but neither of those things have happened. So then what is the market for Le'Veon Bell? How many teams are there who are realistically going to consider spending serious money on Le'Veon Bell? I can think of like three, and none of them are teams who I would be excited about if I was Le'Veon Bell.
It's hard to even get to three for me. Because looking at the teams that need a ton of, or that have a ton of cap space, right?
Yeah.
Colts, Jets, Texans, Bills, Browns.
Raiders.
So the Jets are on that list for me.
Yep.
They're at the top of that list.
100%.
The Raiders are there too.
Yes.
Maybe the Bills, if they were to cut LeSean McCoy or something.
Yeah, not implausible.
But that's still hard for me to imagine. I don't think the Texans are a fit. They have way too many other needs, and I think they understand just by the makeup of their offense, that's just not a smart thing to do.
Right. I was tempted to say the Niners, although I think they're going to go with Jerick McKinnon at this point. I
definitely think they are.
I like the idea of him in that offense. I think that would be fun, but I don't think that is a smart place for them to spend their money.
There's no way that happens.
That would stay 1% chance.
That's it's a 1% chance that it happens.
The Eagles signed DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews that one year.
Yeah, that was a really terrible choice.
After they tried to sign Frank Gore. I'm not saying it was a good idea, but stranger things have happened.
Or that was a year removed from the Eagles having like four quarterbacks.
I guess
a year before.
Would you give me 100-1 against Le'Veon Bell signing with the Niners?
Yes, I would. Absolutely,
I
would.
Okay, well, I want $5 on that.
Done.
Okay. I figure it's Jets, Bucks, Raiders.
The Bucks don't have any money though. How do we get to a place in the world where the Bucks have $17 million in cap space?
Well, because they hand out huge year one, like huge contracts with huge base salaries, so they don't hand out any bonuses.
Well, I'm just saying, however it happened, it's fascinating that we live in a world where the Buccaneers are this bad and they have less cap space than
the Patriots probably.
A ton less than the Patriots. They have less than the Giants. They have less than the Rams, the Falcons, the Patriots, the Ravens, the Panthers, the Steelers. That's just a very weird place. They have a lot less than the Chiefs.
They have a lot less than the Chiefs. Okay, so where's he going to go?
Jets.
The Jets make the most sense, right? Like they're desperate. This is a splash signing. Their GM does not know what he's doing.
It's the type of move that a desperate GM makes, and I feel like we've reached a point with Mike Maccagnan where we may be near the end.
How do you feel about Adam Gase? Just in general, first thoughts that come to your mind when you think of Adam Gase, someone who you experienced as a Bears fan in the past.
The moment the hiring happened, I think my reaction was probably, okay.
Okay.
I understand it. I think that way too many guys get second chances, and we do the retread thing way too often. But I can absolutely make an argument for Adam Gase being the type of guy that could succeed in his second go around. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to happen. Right. I would probably have gone somewhere else, but I think that you can connect the dots.
Okay. So other backs who are in the market, Mark Ingram. You would figure that the Saints can't guarantee him number one snaps given that Alvin Kamara is there. That's a team that is very close to winning a Super Bowl. Alvin Kamara wants him to stay. Do you think he stays in New Orleans?
No.
Where do you think he goes?
I said the Raiders. Because it's
that's so sad though.
It's so sad, but I feel like it's the type of thing they would do.
I know, and that's why it's so sad.
As a fan of a team that has their second round pick in 2020, I want them to make all the bad moves.
So just picture that billboard in Las Vegas: John Gruden, Mark Ingram. Who's the third person on that billboard?
It's not Derek Carr because he'll be gone by then.
That's just throwing money into a fire. Is putting Derek Carr on that billboard? Who would they pick this year in the draft?
There are a lot of running backs.
Okay. Well, not saying the running back. I'm saying, like, do they put Quinnen Williams on the billboard?
Sure. Defensive tackle. That's a guy. That's a way to sell tickets for sure.
Run plugging defensive tackle. Awesome player. I'm super excited.
They're playing for two of 2020, baby. That's all that's happening.
They're playing for that 6-10 record in Las Vegas in 2020. Tevin Coleman, one more running back. I feel like I didn't get a good sense of how he played this year. Like, I watched him every week and I felt like he was fine, but like,
Fine. Their offensive line was hurt on the interior in ways that it hadn't been in years past. They just had a rotating cast of guards. I put him in Tampa Bay. I feel like, you know, Bruce Arians loves speed. I think that obviously they've used David Johnson in a really pronounced way as a receiver in the past. I think that Tevin Coleman gives you that. So, I mean, that pairing made sense to me, but I think he'd go in a lot of different places.
It depends on how much money he gets, right?
Yeah, I think he's going to get decent money. I mean, I think that if you look at the market for Jerick McKinnon last year, why would, if I were Tevin Coleman's agent,
it's hard to
I'd be looking at that contract and saying, this is where we start. And I don't think a lot of teams want to do that.
Yeah, I don't know if I would point to the Jerick McKinnon contract and be like, hey, now that one was so successful, why don't you take another bite of that apple if you
I don't think that's how agents think, man.
I know, it's fair.
I'm not sure that's how their thought process goes.
I actually said Mark Ingram to the Bucks.
And oh my God, that's even sadder.
Well, I just picture that like week 8 game where he's traveling back to New Orleans and he wants to like go on the same sideline and Bruce Arians is yelling at him. I don't know, I think it would be fine. Like I could see Coleman too. I think they add one running back this offseason in free agency. I don't think Ronald Jones is someone who they super seem to trust. And it's now a new coaching staff as well.
Has any team had more just botched early draft picks that we knew in year one weren't going to work recently than the Bucks?
I'd say maybe not Washington. Maybe in the years past Washington.
I mean, the fact that we've already given up on Ronald Jones and we're 10 months removed from him being a second round pick is just so depressing.
Maybe the Broncos?
That's probably a good one.
Last year,
Washington traded Sua Cravens in like 6 weeks, so Washington's definitely in the conversation.
To be fair, like, that was not necessarily Washington's fault. That's fair. I said Tevin Coleman to the Texans.
It's hard for me to see.
I would figure as a replacement for Lamar Miller, not as a complimentary piece to Lamar Miller.
Yeah, I understood. I just feel like with the money they have tied up, with the money they need to spend in other places, that's harder for me to see. I think they have so many needs on the offensive line and the secondary that spending new money on a running back is just, that's rough for me.
All right, Mace, well, let's get to Nick Foles and some of these quarterbacks in a second. First, I wanted to talk about our pals at SeatGeek. And if you're listening to the show, for years now, SeatGeek have been a supporter of the various podcasts I've done with Robert Mays, and they have not stopped because SeatGeek still loves us, and we still love SeatGeek. And if you haven't used SeatGeek before, I don't know what you're waiting for, but this is the time. NFL season is coming up in a few months. Baseball is kicking into swing. If you are a Phillies fan, you want to check out Bryce Harper. If you're a Nationals fan, maybe you want to boo Bryce Harper. Those are both things you can do on SeatGeek, because SeatGeek is going all over the internet. They are aggregating all the different ticket sites. They are using their proprietary secret deal score algorithm to rate the tickets. And all those tickets are fully guaranteed, so you can shop with confidence and know you're getting real seats for the event you want to go to. I use the SeatGeek app every single time I go to a city. I'm going to Toronto in a couple weeks. I am going to use the SeatGeek app to go to a Maple Leafs game. I love using SeatGeek. I would absolutely recommend you do it as well. And if you haven't used it before, you can download the SeatGeek app and enter in promo code Barnwell to get $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. That's promo code Barnwell, B-A-R-N-W-E-L-L, my last name. Use promo code Barnwell, get $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase today. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. Now back to the show. Back here on the Bill Barnwell Show, I'm still Bill Barnwell, still joined in close quarters by Robert Mays of The Ringer. Mays, I feel like we should talk about Nick Foles, but at least from what I'm hearing here at the Combine, and I'm sure you're hearing the same thing, it feels like an open secret where he's heading.
So he's probably going to Jacksonville.
Yes.
It's what has been kind of chirped about all week. I don't want to speculate about this because I think it's not worth speculating about anymore. I just have questions about this. So when we were kind of doing the quarterback roulette, the mad wheel here late last season, we're trying to figure out where people are going. I didn't pencil in a veteran quarterback for the Jags just because financially it didn't seem to make a ton of sense.
100%.
They are already over the cap right now. Obviously teams can do a ton of work to free up space. I mean, that's the era that we're in. But even with that in mind, it still felt like we'd have a hard time freeing up $20 million in cap space for one player for Jacksonville when you consider what Blake Bortles' dead money hit is.
Yes.
But it seems like we're headed that way. And how are we going to get there without the Jags being markedly worse at other areas in their roster?
Well, they're going to be markedly worse at other spots in their roster. The goal is that they're going to be better at quarterback where they were hot trash last year.
And you can make an argument that that improvement makes up for whatever deficiencies you kind of stumble upon elsewhere. So I can understand it.
They have $1 million in cap space right now. And that's before, for example.
Do you
think
Nick Foles is willing to take that?
I mean,
sell them on Jacksonville is just a great place to live. No state income tax.
I think what you do is you get like a life size cutout of Andy Reid and pretend he's your coach and see if you can trick Nick Foles into thinking that he should go back with Andy Reid.
Same thing. Who's their offensive coordinator now?
John DeFilippo, former quarterback coach.
That's all right. That's all right.
A selling point. You put Andy Reid and John DeFilippo.
No, that definitely is.
But $1 million, they have to cut Malik Jackson, you would figure. They could restructure the deal for AJ Bouye, for example, restructure Calais Campbell to create more space, possibly extend those guys. A lot of players who Carlos Hyde they're going to cut, Avery Jones they could cut, but they have to extend Yannick Ngakoue this offseason. They are going to start thinking about giving Jalen Ramsey an extension. I mean, Leonard Fournette's guarantees appear to be gone on his base salary, so even that's only not that significant of a cut. I mean, you're going to have to make some significant moves, and I absolutely agree with you. I think if there was any team that should have gone and traded up to grab a quarterback on the idea that they needed to have a quarterback on a rookie scale deal, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I understand the quote unquote certainty that would come with Nick Foles just because we've seen
him
before.
That's the thing, though.
I just don't know how much there is. And this seems like it could be a disaster in 6 months when we're sitting here looking at what the Jags season was and how Nick Foles played outside of that offense in Philadelphia.
I mean, he's an upgrade on Blake Bortles. We can agree on that.
Sure, so are you.
I would be hesitant to say that, but I get the idea. Like, it's my concern has always been with him is injuries. This is a guy who has not been able to stay healthy for any lengthy stretch of time as a pro. And even last year, he took a – like in that Texans game –
yeah,
he got laid out at the end of that game. He was
Nick Foles, not very much a stationary target,
right? Like Nick Foles gets hit, and I think he's fine. I think he can look great in the right scheme with the right people around him. But I just is Tom Coughlin running things that sort of situation? I'm very skeptical.
I just don't know, man. I mean, we're sitting here, Nick Foles. Averaged 5.3 yards per attempt in the regular season in 2017, mm-hmm. 7.2 this year. I understand he's played very well in the playoffs. My team died at the hands of Nick Foles earlier this year. But in the 2018 postseason, in two starts, Nick Foles averaged 6.6 yards per attempt and completed 60.6% of his passes.
In 2018.
In 2017, he turned into some combination of Joe Montana and Jesus.
But that was only for the final two postseason games.
Yes.
He was bad for most of the game against the Falcons.
Actively bad in that game and even worse in the regular season.
Oh, I mean,
that Raiders game is one of the most unwatchable football games I've ever seen
on
in my
Christmas.
Entire life.
The NFL gave us that on Christmas.
So bad. I was at the NFC Championship game that year though, and watching that game in person, it was stunning. It was just so hard to comprehend what was happening. Every single throw was just put in a 2-foot by 2-foot box. And I just think that way too many people, as they're considering what Nick Foles is going to be for Jacksonville, mm-hmm. are going to have that game in the Super Bowl in mind when there are a lot more games that point to it being way less exciting than that.
But he's still going to be better than Blake Bortles.
But what is that worth? Is that worth $20 million a year when you don't have any other money?
So if you were
not Blake Bortles, that's all if you sit there and there's like a whiteboard in the Jacksonville Jaguars front office, mm-hmm. it just says at quarterback, not Blake Bortles, $20 million.
If you were a Jags fan, would you buy a Nick Foles Jags jersey?
Absolutely not.
Who would you buy at this point? Ramsey?
I'm a Calais Campbell guy. I always have been.
I figure it adds to your collection of Calais Campbell Cardinals jerseys.
Just memorabilia. Yeah.
By the way, can I tell you my idea for the AAF to grab social media traction?
You certainly can.
Do you remember how the Browns had that jersey of all the quarterbacks they had who were terrible? I think whatever AAF team has Christian Hackenberg should start one of those and replace Hackenberg with Zach Mettenberger now.
The combination of – considering I thought they were the same person for like 2 months earlier this year, the idea that those guys are on the same team is just fascinating to me.
What
I love it so much.
What a colossal insult to Zach Mettenberg.
I know, but it's just the big quarterback that went to a high-profile school and just never worked out in the NFL. I understand Zach Mettenberg was a 6th round pick and Christian Hackenberg was a 2nd round pick, but still.
Okay. So what if you would you rather have Nick Foles at $25 million a year or Christian Hackenberg making the veteran minimum?
Nick Foles. I would pay Nick Foles $30 million a year before I'd have
so is 30 the number for that? Or
because, as we said earlier, Zach or Christian Hackenberg does not fit the not Blake Bortles corollary because he's worse than Blake Bortles.
Oh no. Heartbreaking. What about Teddy Bridgewater?
So I'm really interested to see what happens here because, again, there are just so few teams that seem like they need a veteran quarterback, and the ones that would have felt like options have already made decisions. So a team like Denver, right? If they had cut Case Keenum and were looking for someone else,
sure,
you could theoretically say Teddy Bridgewater. Miami is the other team that if they move on from Ryan Tannehill, maybe they don't want to go young, or maybe they think Bridgewater is a good stopgap, team like that. Whether Washington feels like they have the money to go get a guy like that or they pick a rookie. I think that it's hard to say where a guy like Bridgewater is going to go without knowing how these teams think about the quarterbacks in the draft and whether or not they want their incumbent starter.
I could see him falling through the cracks just because he fell through the cracks last year. I think that teams, even though there was a market for him at the end of the preseason, I feel like he is more likely to be a player who I see teams saying, well, you want him as a backup, but you don't want him as our number one guy. I'm not saying that they should. I love Teddy Bridgewater and I think he deserves a starting role, but he was not great in week 17. He still hasn't shown any sort of significant sample size since his knee injury. I feel like he's probably going to get high-end backup offers. And if you're doing that, do you want to go back to the Saints and position yourself to be the first guy if Drew Brees does look like the guy we saw who struggled in December last year?
It would make sense to me. And this has been the biggest change in the NFL, I feel like, over the last two seasons, is just how few seats they are in the quarterback musical chairs. Mm-hmm. There just aren't many.
There were 5 first-round picks at quarterback last
year.
Yes.
So pretty much every single team in the NFL either has a proven starter or they have a plan at quarterback. Right. I mean, the list of teams that don't, more or less, is Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And maybe Miami if they cut Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
But that list is not very long.
But I think Ryan Tannehill would attract more attention in free agency than Teddy Bridgewater.
Absolutely, he would.
I would go Saints. I feel like if you're going to be a backup, why not go with the Saints? Why not end up with that, $6-7 million per year range? And then you can back up Drew Brees. And then again, if Drew Brees struggles, you're the guy. And if Drew Brees retires next year, you're also positioned to be the guy. You already know the offense. They're going to go back to you. You would figure.
That's also a great locker room. Guys love being there. I feel like after a season there, I could 100% see him.
More Teddy Bridgewater dancing gifts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a good locker room. If we're talking just about comfort and about positioning yourself best and not worrying about cashing in the most you can this time, I could definitely see it happen.
Are you ready for the offensive line, Mace?
Of course I am.
I have 4 players for you. I wonder what you think. Let's start with the big guy. Let's start with Trent Brown.
This is just a classic team overspend.
Think?
This is 100% somebody's going to pay a lot of money for Trent Brown and probably should. I think he's a fine player. I think that offensive linemen look a lot better in New England than they do anywhere else for two reasons.
It's funny how that works.
Tom Brady throws the ball in 1.2 seconds, and two, Dante Scarnecchia is
a Hall of Fame positional coach.
Just the greatest human in the history of professional football. So.
Wow. I can't believe you would say that when I can't think of the Bears general manager's name. Ryan Pace is right there.
I saw him today. His hair was so glorious.
Another reason to dislike him. No, I'm only kidding. So where do you think Trent Brown's going to go for that overpay? I agree with you 100%. I think he's going to get a ton of money. He's going to get franchise left tackle money when he might be at, probably a decent fill-in left tackle who's probably best on the right side.
Yes. I mean, I talked to somebody with the Patriots when I was in the Super Bowl, and they said when they traded for him, they didn't even know he could play left tackle.
Right, of course.
And they had to just put him in there because Isaiah Wynn got hurt.
Right.
So the Cardinals does make sense to me. They are so desperate. Yes. They are so desperate for offensive line help. I mean, this is a team that has 0 starting caliber tackles on its team. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many other rosters can you even say that about? Maybe Houston?
That's the team I was thinking of too.
I mean, I think Houston, but I feel like Houston's going to make a smarter move at one, like just at free agency. I think they're less desperate. I think they're, if you're like another guy on this list, Darrell Williams, we might as well talk about them in concert with each other.
Sure.
I think that Houston is a team that can get Darrell Williams because
he's
a better player and is more apt to go to a team that's closer to contending.
You know what I'm leaning on though? Darrell Williams has friends in other places. Darrell Williams play for the Carolina Panthers, who have Dave Gettleman in New York, and they need a right tackle, and they have Brandon Bean in Buffalo, and Buffalo needs a tackle.
I have been to Houston, and I have been to Buffalo, and I would just say that if those offers are even, which they can be because of how much money Houston has, I would probably go play for the Texans. Also, the Texans are good.
Okay, what about the Giants, though? New York is a little different from...
I had Roger Saffold going there. I think that...
I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive, my friend.
Oh, you think they might spend that much money overall in free agency dollars on their offensive line?
You've seen David Gettleman before, haven't you?
They have $28 million in space. They're going to go get two top-of-the-market offensive linemen in free agency?
I think if Dave Gettleman could do that right now, he would sign up in a heartbeat.
This is the man that gave Matt Khalil that contract, so.
And gave Nate Solder that contract.
Yes, it's so true. God. Like,
that would not shock me in the tiniest bit if they went out and gave that sort of money. They could cut Alec Ogletree. They could cut Rhett Ellison, who's going to make almost $6 million
Alec Ogletree,
this year.
They just traded for.
When has that ever stopped teams before?
I know. It's just, God, the Giants are a mess.
Yeah, they're a mess. That's the whole point. I think Darrell Williams is going to go to the Bills. I think they're going to pay an exorbitant premium to get him to go to Buffalo.
But if I were the Texans, I would be willing to get it on that exorbitant premium. I think Darrell Williams is the type of guy that is worth spending on in free agency. He was dinged up last year. He was really good before he was hurt.
Dinged up? Dog, his knee was putty last year. That's like, fair.
Dinged up is not fair, but.
Very generous way of putting it.
I still think he was so good before that. He's young. I would spend on him if I were Houston.
Like,
when
I don't go to the gym because I slept on my neck the wrong way, that is dinged up.
That's how I feel right now. My shoulder's a little wonky from how I slept.
We are in these wonderful chairs that are are clearly designed for podcasting. I'm going to say Trent Brown to the Cardinals. I think that makes sense to me. I think that they are the most desperate team for offensive line help in football. The Texans at least have an interior of their offensive line that is competent. The Cardinals, outside of maybe Justin Pugh and maybe Mason Cole, I don't know, don't really
have Mason Cole, they view as a starter there.
Right. I think I could see them re-signing Joe Barksdale to play right tackle and then sign Trent Brown to play left tackle. And then DJ Humphreys is tossed overboard somewhere in Arizona.
That he's very much not in the plans. So.
Right. And then Darrell Williams, I would say Bills or Giants. I would lean Bills just because I think the Giants already have Nate Solder at $15 million a year at left tackle.
I want to see him wind up in
Houston's Houston. Not implausible by any means.
I really want that.
Roger Saffold, you have going to the Giants?
I do. I feel like they could use a guy like that. Just interior presence, veteran, just a really good run blocker. He's been so solid for the Rams for so long. Just good locker room guy.
Do you think the Rams, is there a price tag where the Rams can't bring him back, you think?
I think he would be priced out of coming back there.
Cause he's just too good.
Too good, too expensive. I just don't think that they're going to be able to be in the bidding war with other teams are, especially at offensive line, just because so many teams need help there.
Yes.
I think it's harder to retain your guys just because the market is very hot.
Yes. What about Matt Paradise?
The Jets makes a ton of sense to me. I think that they desperately need interior line help. You know, that you put him next to Brian Winters. You have a really nice pairing with your center and your right guard. Then you bring in Le'Veon Bell. You have Darnold. You have some talent at receiver. And now you can start kind of cooking with gas a little bit there.
Why are the Broncos letting Matt Paradise go?
I don't know the answer to that.
Is their line secretly good and I don't know about it? Because I think their line is actually bad.
They were really solid last year, but I think that has a lot more to do with their offensive line coach, who is now going to Arizona, by the way.
Yes, that's true.
Their offensive line coach was fantastic last year. He's a guy that was at UTSA for a little while as a head coach, came back to Denver last year, his first year back in the league for a long time, and now he's in Arizona, which I think is the biggest coup that Kingsbury got, even more than Vance Joseph on that staff.
I think the biggest coup Cliff Kingsbury got was being born and looking like Cliff Kingsbury.
I just mean the staff that he assembled. I feel like getting Kluger? It's Kluger, right?
I believe it is Kluger.
Kluger, Colonel, yeah. He's very
Did you call him Colonel Kluger?
No.
Is he a military man?
It's Kluger? It's Kruger or Kluger? I don't know.
Sounds like it is an archer.
It doesn't matter. He's good at his job.
I concur. He is. I think that there's a opportunity there for sure. But I think the Jets make total sense. This one is going to make me upset, but I have to say
Kukler. Yes.
Kukler. Sorry. Golden Tate?
Colts.
Patriots.
The reason I can't say that is because I'm dreading it so much.
It's so sad. Like, just think of it, because it's going to work and it's going to be so good.
So terrible. But just imagine him in that offense because they need an underneath option. They run a lot of 12 personnel and they have those couple tight ends, obviously. But just having Golden Tate paired with T.Y. Hilton, I just feel like it's so easy to see it. You just have so many middle of the field options.
Yep.
Frank Reich's offense is designed so well to take advantage of those spots. It's so easy to picture for me. The Patriots are too. It's just, I'm trying to block it out of my mind.
I don't want it to happen, but no. I feel like it's going to happen. I love the Colts. I think the Colts are an awesome fit. I think that makes total sense. What about Jared Cook?
I said Denver.
Denver makes sense.
They need pass catching help. You know, they lost Demaryius Thomas. You know, they have, what was the rookie receiver's name?
Deshaun Hamilton and,
Courtland Sutton. I was talking to the big guy. Yeah. So they have Courtland Sutton now on the outside with Emmanuel Sanders, but Sanders is coming back off the Achilles now. Mm-hmm. They have nothing at tight end. I mean, Jeff Heurman, I think, is a free agent. Like, yes. The number one guy was Jeff Heurman and he's not coming back. So I think that's one where I could see that happening.
I suggested the Jags. I think the points you made about cap space lean me to say that's not going to be the case.
When I saw that, I was a little hesitant. I was like, where does the money come from?
I would have thought maybe the Cowboys until what happened yesterday.
Yep.
That was one of the great combine moments, by the way, was being in a restaurant in Indianapolis and seeing everybody like look down at their phone going to the
table.
I was
in my hotel room. That's disappointing. I wish I'd been in public.
I was there with my editor and Matt Bowen of ESPN getting lunch. And my editor's like, Jason Witten's going back to the Cowboys? And I'm like, I thought it was a bit and I didn't understand what the bit was.
I thought it was a bit too. As soon as I saw it, I was like, are we sure this is real?
Yeah. Where is this check mark on this guy? I can see maybe the Lions.
Oh man. The Lions spending more money on tight ends is just funny to me.
But like, they have to do something.
Yeah. It's so true. Who's the Lions tight end right now?
It's Michael Roberts.
Oh, good Lord.
Good old Mikey Roberts. Yeah, I think there's not a lot of teams that are going to need tight ends, and this is a deep class for tight ends from what I understand.
Yeah, that's the problem here again, is just like how the draft affects free agency and vice versa.
Right. So I think that's all the offensive guys. Let's finish up. Let's run through linebackers. I would say let's look at CJ Mosley. Do you think he leaves Baltimore?
I don't think he does. I feel like if I had to put money on it, I would say he stays. But the other one I feel like is really fun, if he does leave Baltimore, is going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the Ravens make sense. I just, like, they've let a bunch of young players go. Mosley feels like one of the guys they don't let go.
That's my feeling as well.
He seems like, you know, they could replace him theoretically. They have Za'Darius Smith, who is on the outside, who's going to be a free agent. They have Matt Judon, who's going to be a free agent next year. They have, oh my God, Patrick Onwasser, who's going to be a free agent next year. Like, they could sit here and say, okay, let's let Mosley leave, let's re-sign Smith, let's re-sign Onwasser, and we'll go with the younger players. But like, Mosley's still pretty young, and Mosley's just, he's awesome. Like,
and
he's
having that be the play call of your defense, the guy who's like the centerpiece of your defense, I think that position can be overrated, but I also think it's such a rock on certain teams. I think that's what he is for them.
I just picture if you let CJ Mosley leave, Ozzie Newsome just storms the facility the next day in anger.
No one wants that.
Nobody.
What if he went to Pittsburgh though? It'd be so great.
That would be so terrible.
It'd be so great. I would love it because they need help there.
They do need help there. They're terrible at inside linebacker, and the Steelers should do it if he becomes a free agent. I would like, number one, just on sheer trolling, and number two, that's an incredible position of need for them. That would make total sense.
I see him staying in Baltimore though. I really do.
What about Anthony Barr though? That is a totally different situation.
I think the Raiders do make sense. They have the money. They need pass rushing help, and also Paul Gunther is a Mike Zimmer disciple. That defense, you can understand how to use him. I feel like a lot of the cards are stacked in that direction.
Does Anthony Barr go on the billboard in Las Vegas?
When you pay him $20 million a year, I feel like you have to.
$16 million a year.
He's going to be the highest paid player on the team after they cut Derek Carr.
For 3 sacks. And I mean, like, he's a good player. He's better than his sack total. But
he's fine. Yeah, he does so much when he's healthy and playing well. But he's been volatile, man. I mean, he's been great some years and kind of sketchy in stretches other years.
There are stretches where he looked absolutely unplayable at times. And there's stretches where he
was getting roasted
incredible.
Consistently in that Rams game. I mean, just they were picking on
that's
him.
Unfair.
Well, I guess everyone was.
Yeah, that's just not a fair level there. The cornerback market is not great. I just picked Bradley Roby just to have a cornerback in here. Do you have any strong feelings on Bradley Roby?
I do not care about Bradley Roby's destination whatsoever.
Why not?
I just don't care. It could be anywhere. Like, let's just put him somewhere and like move on. He is just the most fine like free agent quarterback signing you possibly could have.
Okay, but you're
saying
that.
I think Houston makes sense.
You're saying that he's going to get like $10 million a year.
I understand that, and that is the problem with NFL free agency.
That's the problem?
I think there are a lot of problems, but that is indicative of one of the problems.
And you don't think he's going to make an impact somewhere?
I think he'll be fine.
Do you think there's a scenario where the Rams trade Marcus Peters and sign Bradley Roby?
Sure. I mean, there's a world where that happens. I don't think it happens.
Not in this one?
No.
All right. So we got the four final free agent on our top 25 list, all free safeties.
Good players.
All good players, I would say. I was going to insult Adrian Amos, but he's actually a good player.
How dare you?
I just wanted to troll you. Do you have any Bryce Callahan feelings before we get to that, actually?
I think Bryce Callahan is a very good player. I think if I were the Bears, I would prioritize re-signing Adrian Amos over Bryce Callahan.
How much would you be willing to pay Bryce Callahan if you're the Bears?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't at all.
I just don't feel like there's a world in which they would pay him. I think he's going to get the Aaron Colvin deal, and I just would not give him that if I were the Bears.
I agree with you. Do you think he goes to the Broncos?
Bryce Callahan?
Yeah.
I think there's, I mean, that we could list a ton of teams that need slot corner help. I mean, there's plenty.
So Bradley Roby does not interest you, but Bryce Callahan is fascinating to you.
No, it's not, I mean, it's not fascinating to me. I think it's, it depends on how you use him. If a team tries to put him outside, I think that they're going to be very disappointed with themselves.
Maybe.
I feel like that he, it's one of those things. Like, Aaron Colvin was very successful in Jacksonville. He played next to the two best cornerbacks in the league.
Yes.
Bryce Callahan is a very good player within the best defense in football.
Yes.
So I have my
reservations. He was good before last year, though.
He's a solid player, but last year was easily his best season.
Of course. That was true of pretty much everyone in the Bears defense.
Correct.
All right, Mace, let's get back to the defense here in a second. But first, let's talk about Dollar Shave Club. I love Dollar Shave Club. I use it every single day because I need to look good. I'm not someone who just walk out the door and smell good and look good. Other people can do that. Not me. A Field Yates type? No problem. Easy peasy. Me, I gotta do a lot of work to get out the door and not have people just stare at what's wrong with me. So, I use Dollar Shave Club to look good. I use Dollar Shave Club to smell good. I use Dollar Shave Club to feel good. And the best part is, I don't have to get up in the morning and be out of stuff and have to go to a store in my pajamas looking like an unshaven mess. I don't have to do that because Dollar Shave Club sends their stuff directly to my door. I've been using their toothpaste. I have to admit, my breath smells better. It was okay before. It was like a 5 or a 6. It is a 10 now. It is the thing I am most proud of in my life on a day-to-day basis is how my breath does not horrify people on the metro in Washington, D.C., where I just moved. They didn't kick me out of New York because I smelled bad. I'm not saying that happened. Fortunately now, with Washington, D.C., I'm in Dollar Shave Club. Everything's going great. And just so you guys know, they have a handsome discount. So the more you buy of their products, the more you save. I'm not going to lie. I do get a good deal because I am a sponsor of their stuff, but I use it now on a regular basis. I go out and buy it myself because it's worth it. I'm just so used to it. I love getting it to my door. It is a fantastic product. And right now, Dollar Shave Club has a bunch of starter sets you can try for just $5, like their oral care kit. And after that, the restock box ships regularly sized products at a regular price. So what are you waiting for? Get your starter set for just $5 right now at dollarshaveclub.com/Barnwell. My last name, B-A-R-N-W-E-L-L, dollarshaveclub.com/Barnwell. Now back to the show. Let's run through these four safeties. I think they're all interconnected in one way or another. Let's start with the Hall of Famer to be Earl Thomas.
I mean, obviously the Cowboys thing keeps coming up over and over again, but I feel like the Niners can just blow him out of the, like, blow it out of the water money wise.
That would be so fun just to see Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman going back to Seattle.
If you were San Francisco, why wouldn't you just give him a ton of money and not even let Dallas be in the conversation?
I can't imagine a scenario where if you're spending $12 million on Jerick McKinnon that you don't think, hey, here's a Hall of Fame safety who, even though he's 30.
This is my thought as well.
But like, you know what? If you're going to have a guy get hurt, I'd rather be stuck with Earl Thomas getting hurt as opposed to Jerick McKinnon or Malcolm Smith. Like, I'm happy to go down with the ship if the ship has Earl Thomas on it.
I think the Niners are going to be much closer to contention next year than other people probably.
Oh, I think they're a playoff team next year if Jimmy Garoppolo stays healthy.
And if that is the case, then I think that you 100% have to consider doing this and say, screw the price, I don't care.
How much is that for you? Like what's the, like, I'm going all in price for Earl Thomas? $14 million a year?
It's probably top of the safety market, like top of the safety market.
More than Eric Berry?
I'd say right in that range. I would definitely start at like 12 and go from there.
Eric Berry was 678.
I think he makes less than that. I think it's a shorter term deal as well, but
would you go would you give him 4 years and $56 million?
Yes.
And probably guarantee 2 and maybe part of year 3?
Yes.
I would do it.
Yes.
I love Earl Thomas. I want Earl Thomas to hang out with me.
I think especially if those guarantees are packed into the first 2 years when you have all the space, I 100% would do it.
I want to see that Seahawks game. I'm going to fly to that Seahawks game if he signs there.
It's going
to
be so great.
Tyrann Mathieu.
I think he stays in Houston.
In Houston?
Yes, I do. I went down there before their playoff game against who did they play? The Colts.
They played the Colts.
So I was there and I talked to him for a while. I talked to a lot of people there about him. I think they love him.
They should.
He is such a presence in that locker room. Mm-hmm. And I know that he's probably going to be decently expensive just because he played well last year and he's shown he can stay healthy for a couple straight seasons, but he likes it there. Yeah. And he likes being in that locker room. They like having him there. I would be surprised if they let him go.
I would
rather have him than Clowney.
Yeah, me too. But I'm a clown of truth. You know that.
I would be, the fact that they're giving him the franchise tag is surprising to me.
Really?
I would let someone else pay him. I really would.
Why?
I don't know.
You've changed.
I think he's extremely talented, but I just don't know if he's ever going to be that force that is worth the Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald type of contract.
It's tough because he's going to, if he hits the market, someone's going to pay him like he's going to be a 15 sack a year guy.
Correct.
And he has that potential every single season. But he's never been that guy.
He's not that guy to me. He's not that type of pass rusher, in my opinion. I think he's very versatile.
Yeah.
He does a lot of things pretty well. I don't think he is a top 12 defender in the NFL.
But if you let him go and he wins Defensive Player of the Year, you're going to get fired.
But I don't think that happens.
But there's a world in which that happens, certainly.
Sure, but I would be willing to make that bet. I think you should keep him. Mm-hmm. I think franchising him makes sense. I would not be the team to give him a long-term deal, though.
I don't disagree with you. Earl Thomas, I said go to the Cowboys. And if that happens, I think Tyrann Mathieu would be a great fit for the Niners. With the Texans, the only thing is, why didn't they sign him already? If they were going
to, I don't know. It's a good question.
Maybe Bob McNair died. Maybe they just just weren't in a position to make big moves until, you know, things were more settled during the offseason. But
I assume he also wants to see how the market kind of unfolds a little bit.
Sure.
Why not? I mean, you signed a 1-year prove it deal. You proved it. Now let's see what you're worth.
How much would you give him and feel comfortable doing it? 10?
Yeah, probably in that range.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
I would hopefully have it be the guarantees packed into the first couple of years. He's had issues staying healthy over the course of his career, even though he's been much better in the last couple seasons.
Do you think Landon Collins leaves the Giants?
I do.
That's very sad.
I don't understand why. It's just one of those guys, even in the moment, I'm sure Giants fans are sitting there being like, why are we letting this happen? What is the reason for this?
Like, are we just set at safety? Like,
yes.
are there players who I'm not aware of at safety who the Giants have?
So if he leaves the team that I connected him with, you had them spending on Trey Flowers. Yeah. I put him in Detroit.
I could see that.
I think that they need help on the back end. I mean, Quandre Diggs is not somebody necessarily that is going to be the answer for the next several years. I think Landon Collins is a potentially elite player.
You figure Glover Quinn's probably moving on at this point.
Yep.
I said Washington.
Makes sense too.
Just because they are very thin at safety now. DJ Swearinger, I guess threw a hissy fit and got rid of. I don't know why.
It's amazing.
Haha Clinton Dix.
He was their best player.
He was their literal best player on either side of the ball last year.
Oh, it's great. That's the best.
Haha Clinton Dix. Did not do well as a free agent. I'm not even on this list, but I think he's going to go somewhere and do fine. But
sure.
I don't think Washington is that place. They need safety help.
Mm-hmm.
And they love, you know, they're very happy to sign players within their division. I'm not thrilled by that idea, but I just think, I don't understand why the Giants are doing this, but if they're going to do it, I think Washington makes sense.
Sure.
Again, could see like the Raiders reaching out and just giving him some mega deal.
Yeah, they're a wild card in all of this.
Yes. The Raiders, if they decide they want to give someone a record contract, they can do it. Let's finish with Adrian Amos.
Bears. I think he stays.
You think he stays?
Yes.
Now, here's the question. The Bears sign anybody to an extension who breathes if they think he's a good player. Why haven't they signed Adrian Amos already?
That's a good question. I feel like, I mean, they prioritize a lot of other guys and they've signed a lot of extensions recently. I think that, again, he probably wants to see how the market's going to unfold too. And I just think that they will pay up for him to stay. That is how I see this going. Or I think they should at least.
They transition tagged Kyle Fuller last year. Would you transition tag Adrian Amos?
No, I don't think he's worth that.
But then, I mean, like what is the range between what you think he would get in the market and what the transition tag would be?
What's the transition tag for safeties?
I was hoping you weren't going to say that because I don't know what the answer to that question is.
That's why it's hard for me to answer this question.
But
transition tag numbers aren't locked into my brain quite yet.
I'm sorry. I thought you were.
As if they ever are.
I'm not going to be able to find it quickly enough to finish the show, but it's significant. I would guess somewhere in the 10 million range. Would you want him back at that number?
If it's possible, yes.
I think they used it with Fuller last year and I was not a fan of it. Obviously Fuller had an awesome year.
Yes.
No issues there. But in terms of if you used it to keep Fuller last year and have some semblance of control over Fuller, I think you would do it with safety as well. So yeah, the franchise tag, according to Joel Corey, is projected to be somewhere around 11.3 million. So I'd figure in the 9.5-10 million range for transition. Cause like, if you could get him for 4 years and 32 million, do you do it?
Yes.
So, do you not want to franchise or transition for 1 year at like 9.5 or 10 and then see what the market does from there?
That's not a bad idea. I am open to that idea.
Well,
and Kyle Long's number is going to go down. He restructured his contract. They're going to have a little bit more than like the $15 million they're slated to have right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
they have a lot of draft picks, so they're well positioned to add talent to the roster.
Not a lot of work to be done.
If he's going to leave, where do you think he goes?
It depends on where those other guys go. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's always how the dominoes fall is dependent on where the big ones start. So it's hard to say.
Is there any player who we did not get to who you have a strong opinion on about him going to a certain place?
No.
Someone like a Cameron Wake?
No.
You just want to finish up?
No, I think you got to all the guys I feel strongly about.
You don't feel strongly about Deion Buchanan, for example?
I do not. I have no strong feelings about Deion Buchanan.
Thomas Davis?
Nope. Again, no strong feelings.
I'm just naming people at this point who come across the list. You know their offensive line thoughts? You don't care about where Mitch Morse is going to go?
I think the offensive line list is very interesting. You guys like Mitch Morse. I think that Donovan Smith is going to get paid somewhere, even though he's not very good. And if you can walk and chew gum at the same time, you could probably be an offensive lineman.
Okay, question for you. So we're going to finish up with two tackles, because I'm going to ask you a question. They good? Because I don't know if they good.
Okay.
Donovan Smith.
Donovan Smith is not good, but he's there.
So how much do you think he's going to get?
At least like $8 million a year. Greg Robinson just got $9 million a year to play in Cleveland.
From who, though?
Whoever loses out on Darrell Williams, that's what's going to happen. If let's say Houston doesn't get Darrell Williams, they're going to give a guy like Donovan Smith way more money than you think they should.
That would be sad, though.
But that's how this stuff works, man, okay. Especially at that position.
What about Juwan James? He good?
Yes, he will get money.
Is he good, though?
He's fine. He's better than Donovan Smith.
Is he?
Yes, I think he is.
So would you, if the Bears not have Bobby Massey, would you want them to pay Juwan James $10 million a year?
No, but they have Bobby Massey, so I don't have to worry about that.
Okay. Well, I was asking you hypothetically, to be clear.
I would not want them to do that, no, but some team will, I promise.
I'm worried the Giants will. That's the problem. Yeah,
that's how this stuff is going to go, man. As soon as you miss out on the guys you actually want, that's how you end up with these players.
You pay the same amount of money to a player who's not as good.
Yes.
That is a wonderful way to explain NFL free agency. So Robert Mays, I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Anytime, buddy. It was great.
Where can people check out more of the work you do?
At theringer.com, man. We're going to do the Ringer NFL show later today. I wrote about my
You do podcasts with other people?
I do. I'm sorry to break that to you.
Oh, this is very...
So, and then I wrote about my 5 combine observations from Thursday. I'll be doing some free agency work next week on the Ringer. So if you guys want to check that out, please do. I'd appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. More audio coming next week.